College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being here with us. holy cow. Hey.
All of a sudden. Hello.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that is a huge check.
It is a big check.
This is, I mean, like, it's a huge check in a lot of different ways. It's Livy and Amy from the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Thank you.
Brought you some flowers. Congratulations.
Thank you. Maybe we should put them on the microphone.
Yes, we should. Right there. Step right in front of you.
Look at that check and the cameras.
Yes, yes.
Oh, these smell wonderful.
The cameras are big enough to watch.
No, the cameras are not big enough to hold that entire check, unless you walk
way far
away.
Man, Ethan's doing all the things.
I know, way far away. Well, that'd be this.
Yeah, but now you can't. You have to be up by the mic. Mm-hmm. It's a real conundrum.
$16,632.
And you might have to add, I don't know if I told you that.
Ooh, money. There's a little extra money.
Thank you, Annie.
Some people at church gave me a donation. It was such a wonderful week last week. If you don't know what we're talking about right now, Amy and Libby from the Lutheran Elementary School Association are in studio with us right now. I did not know that they were going to be in here. They brought me flowers, and they smell wonderful, and I can smell them, which is that's how good
that's
they
impressive.
Smell.
That's impressive.
And they got a big check. So it was a great week.
It was a great week. We are so excited to be able to add this to an endowment fund, and this will pay out forever.
That's exciting.
Pay out forever.
Forever's a long time.
This might be the most important thing we've ever done, Ryan.
Yes, I think it might be. Does it pay out even after Jesus comes back, or is that where it stops? That's
forever,
where it stops.
Forever.
Okay. Maybe that'll be Bitcoin by then.
Okay.
So I spent this past week was the Lutheran conference tournament for our basketball for the Lutheran schools that we're in. So I was talking to people from a whole bunch of different schools. And, you know, Amy, when you were watching these, you and I were communicating texts back and forth, and then Libby picked it up on Friday because I think you had some meetings.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who were reaching out to me, and then I talked to them at this tournament who were really excited to have participated, big and small alike, to come together to do this.
It was such a conglomeration of people. It was, I told you one day, I think it was just such a grassroots effort. People really wanted to support the idea of Christian schools because we had a lot of Catholics who said, I'm Catholic, but I'm going to donate to this.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to make sure that you were honored, but also that Christian education was honored in whatever format. And so I think it was just such a beautiful effort. Thank you to you. Thank you to your team, who was fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to all the fannies out there.
Yeah.
Who came together.
The fannies. I did not name them, and I disclose that every time. They name themselves. It's really cool because the reach for this effort is, like you said, it's going to be an impact for a long time, but it can continue to grow over time as well.
Yes. Interest rates will climb, and we will be able to make more money on this and be able to give away more scholarships every year.
That's
so
great.
That's exciting, too.
So, Ryan, you going to go try to cash that?
I have tried to cash checks that big before, and every single time. Although that one looks more official. You know, I'll go out with the dudes, and they'll write me a check and say, I'll get you back, and they get me back with like a napkin check. They don't cash those.
Don't?
I've never tried a giant check before.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. I bet that doesn't fit in the drawer.
Like Happy Gilmore.
I was just saying, I don't see it fitting in a drawer.
I don't either.
Mm-mm. Ryan will try to stick that in his pants and run out the door with it, though, so be very careful.
And not just that.
Kind of heavy. It takes two hands.
So
there are times when you make a joke and you go, wrong segment.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
So Libby, just to kind of reset the table, how many schools are in the area? What is in your mind when you're setting apart Lutheran education from the alternative out there, especially public school, but people looking for an alternative to the situation they're in right now? Talk to me a little bit about the Lutheran school system and why it's so special.
Well, I mean, the St. Louis area has got a lot of Lutheran schools. We've got about 33 that are part of our membership organization. That's the elementary and middle schools. It also includes four high schools that filter out. We're excited to say about 45% of the kids that graduate from our middle schools go into the high school system.
That's great.
So I think that's a lot, and I was real happy to hear that. And what you're looking for, or what most people are looking for, they're looking at Lutheran schools. They're looking for a traditional education, may or may not be looking for the Lutheran aspect of it at all, but they're looking for the small classrooms. They're looking for that teacher, administrator, parent collaboration.
Yeah.
Where you're working in tandem together as a group and not necessarily against each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for lifelong.
That's so important, the partnership between the people who take your kids from you during the day and what you're trying to do at home and ensuring that it's not at odds.
You need to put your kids somewhere where you trust them and that you trust what they're going to be teaching them. And you can trust that at our Lutheran school system. And you're also looking, at least for my family and my kids, lifelong friends. So some of my kids all have the same friends that they had from elementary school. It's St. Louis. So.
Yeah. yeah, it's what Lutheran school did you go to?
Yeah.
It's a little extra St. Louis there. I mean, I think... Ryan, you know, my husband didn't go to a Lutheran school. He went to public school. You went to public school, but you send your kids to a Christian school.
Yep.
Your kids don't go to a Lutheran school, but the idea of a Christian education. Do you ever look back and put yourself in the mind of, like, what if I would have had that opportunity?
Yeah, I do. There's times in high school I can still remember that I would have a science teacher, for instance, teaching me something. I had history, too. I had a couple different teachers that I didn't know, and this is in the 90s, okay? So everything wasn't so politicized as it is now, but I could still pick up that maybe their values were a little different than mine, because I was a Christian, I was a believer then, but I don't know that I would have led with that like I do now, where I'm like, that's the most important thing in my life is Jesus. But back then, I knew I was a Christian, and I would hear things coming from teachers that I would wonder, what exactly am I being taught right now? And you're right at that age where you start asking those questions. And I remember asking those. And I wonder to this day, is that because I had, well, first of all, thank God for that discernment to be able to sort of pick up on some of that stuff. But I wonder, will my kids ever have that moment? And if you're in a school that shares your values, I'm not saying that having sort of thoughts that are questioning the narrative are bad. It's good, but to be around people that you can trust, and especially as a parent, that's why I send my kids where I do. That I don't have to wonder where is this going, what are they being taught, and I'm just so thankful for that. And this is why this grant exists, is because there are so many people asking that same question, but they haven't necessarily crossed that bridge yet. And that was one of the great reasons I was so glad to be talking about this for the last couple weeks, is because it's not just the people who will directly be affected by that grant. There are so many people that have heard us just talking about this who have never even considered, oh, maybe that's even an option. And I'm just glad that you guys have been a part of this week and that it went so well. But what is the process for a kid, you know, directly affected, like we said, by this grant? Like, who comes to you? Do they say, oh, I'm interested in Lutheran school, but I don't think I can afford it? Like, how does that work?
It's the parents. The parents come forth and say, we're interested and we want to know how we can make this affordable. And they always talk to the administrators, of course, too. So the administrators make them aware. But in the end, it's the parents who have to apply and provide, you know, their tax returns and the kinds of things that, and their income versus, and then we compare that to the tuition at each of the schools. So that the 10% ratio qualifies them for a scholarship. So if their income is tuition is more than 10% of their income, which if you have two or three children, doesn't take long.
Yeah.
You know, even at our affordable prices, that's you know what I mean?
Yep.
You add $6,000, which is an average price, and you get two or three, four children in there, you're usually at that 10% level. And so we then have a committee who then takes all of the applications and considers them. And with stuff like our endowed scholarships, which you've just provided, that really helps us because our board is committed every year to give a little bit more. And we have an endowment, a bigger endowment that's for scholarships only, but all the little endowments feed into that. So the more that we have the little endowments and the other fundraising that we have, the less we have to break it into that to the larger scholarship endowment so that that is into perpetuity as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it just, the more that we can do to continue is fabulous. And I just wanted to address your thought about Ryan, about, you know, the who's teaching you and mm-hmm. their character. And my children went to Lutheran school for till sixth grade, my oldest, and now they're in public school. And it's the same idea. My children's values are firmly established. And that's what Lutheran schools do, is they help you firmly establish and cultivate those. And so when they go into a situation where there are all kinds of influences in the public schools, they know who they are. And it makes them a little different sometimes in their schools.
Yeah.
And that is okay. And yeah. We celebrate that.
I think that it's also important, and I'll say this from my specific experience of being in a Lutheran school myself as a student, but also watching my children be in a Lutheran school, you are not unaware of what's going on in the world. It is not what I would consider like this quiet echo chamber where you go in and you don't really realize what the world is, because you can't really understand what grace is without knowing the brokenness of the world. You can't really understand the need of something like a savior to understand it. You have to know where the brokenness and the darkness is. It lives within you, and it lives all around the world, and sometimes the closer you are to your faith and to the Spirit, the harder that darkness works to try to get to you. So you have to protect your children in a spiritual sense, but also in like a worldly sense. The things that are happening in the world, for me, and I was talking about this earlier in the show, but September 11th happened my senior year of high school. I went to Metro East Lutheran High School. I experienced one of the most horrific, tragic, fork in the road, life-changing moments of my life, where we prayed a lot in that moment. And there was no question about it. It's what you did. We talked about it in the sense of a Christian faith. It wasn't just a Lutheran faith, because at the Lutheran high school I went to, there were people of a whole bunch of different kinds of Christian faiths there. Some people who maybe didn't have that strong of a faith to begin with that came to the Lutheran school because they wanted that education. But when the world is happening around you and you have put your children in a place where their feet are firmly planted on solid foundation, that world still exists around your kids, but you've built up a fortress around them with their faith that is a part of experiencing the world, which is really the only way I feel comfortable of letting go of my children one day into the world. I'm not worried about my kids going to a public high school if I couldn't make the Lutheran high school affordable, or a public college or university system, because we're building those blocks at home first, and we turn them over to these schools that continue to do that and have these discussions. And like I said, the world is happening around you. You're not insulating your kids from bad things happening when you send them to a Lutheran school, but you are giving them the foundation to survive those things, along with brothers and sisters in Christ who understand the priority order. And when you can turn your child over in an education system, when you have the opportunity to do that, that's the most priceless thing that I can think of, is to make sure that my children have that firm foundation in their faith. And that happens at Lutheran schools every single day. And now we're going to be able to bless more people with that opportunity.
Yes, you are. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for the flowers. These are beautiful.
I also wanted to address that. And one other thing that Lutheran schools may teach you mm-hmm. is work ethic, because nobody worked as hard as Annie Fry did last
week. Thank you.
And you can tell I didn't go to Lutheran school.
No. You had a great team behind you.
Yes.
Thank you. Working hard. And we are so thankful for that. We're definitely giving thanks every day. So thank you for that example.
Truly an honor. Because as I said, I've been trying to work with them and say, let me use my platform to get the word out. And you guys put a little bit of faith in me to make this happen. And I'm really grateful for it. And I'm glad it worked out for the best for everybody.
Bless you.
I'm looking forward to the new haircut.
Yeah. We're going to discuss that when we come back. I'm glad you brought that up. Everybody wants to know about the haircut. So let's iron out those details when we come back, Ryan. You ready for that?
Yes, I am.
I don't like the confidence and the smugness that you have on your face in that sentence. Look
you
at
don't have
smile.
To like it.
No, I don't. I am where I
it
am.
It exists anyway.
Yeah, it'll be fine. All right. Thank you so much. Congratulations to the LESA, to the Annie Fry Show community. We're so grateful for you. We'll be right back. Without you, without you, without you, without you. back to the Annie Fry Show. This guy won a Grammy last night. Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
David
Guetta.
And Usher. David Muir.
What a nerd you are. So we're going to do a little hair cutting.
Yep.
Should we do it on the air? I don't know if I understand the value of doing it on the air, but I also, we're going to do it this week and probably Friday.
Okay.
But the question is, unless Ryan wants to get the shaving of his beard going sooner.
Well, you said that. You said you wanted a skater cut. You said a lot of things. But
I have said nothing
air.
About my hair. I was talking about your beard. You going to do a skater cut in your beard?
I'm not opposed to it if somebody can figure out what that is.
Lightning bolts.
Cuts around it.
Can you imagine going to a barber and saying, you know what I need? I don't need anything off the top. I just need my beard shaved and cut, but I would like it in a skater cut.
What if they're like, say no more?
Yeah, what if they're like, oh, yeah. It's just Tuesday, you know? It's what we do here at Skater Cut Barbers.
Captain Planet on YouTube says, on the air now, that was the deal. The deal was not that we would do it
on
air.
We did not say.
Money. That's not true.
No, we did not say.
Because I actually said last week, and I've thought about this all weekend, I said last week that we would probably video it.
Mm-hmm.
And upload it to our YouTube.
I assumed that it would be. People were asking me this weekend about it too, and I said, "Well, probably Monday." But again, we did not commit. We did commit to doing it, and I would say we probably just go ahead and do it after Trump's term.
So you don't shave until then?
No, I'll still shave, just not the whole beard. Man, by the way, my kids are furious that I agreed to do this. Because I don't think they've ever seen me without a beard.
What if they don't like you anymore?
They won't. They only like me because of the beard, because it absorbs punches.
What?
Well, they know that I can walk into battle and just take a punch and be
yeah,
like,
that's
doesn't
what,
matter.
That's what that screams right there. Battle yeah. ready.
The battle beard.
Yeah. Whenever I wear my Gap shirt, people are like, I'm not even going to mess with that guy. He probably got that at the Gap.
So what should we do? How do you want to do it?
I think we have... I don't think we could do it properly on air because we have to talk. So unless we...
I know that it sounds fun, especially if you're on the YouTube channel. I know it sounds fun. Maybe we could do it at a break.
That's the only way is if we did it at the top of an hour. Like coming
so we
out
can
of,
do it live on the show yeah. and we'll talk about the fact that it's going to happen, but then... You just have to tune in and watch it live.
So it'd have to be like 1:55 on either tomorrow or Friday or whatever day we choose. 1:55. Right when we get done with that segment, we'd have to start.
I don't think that we need to watch you shave your beard. I think you could just do that.
Okay. I didn't know how to do
unless
that.
Unless you think the people really want to see.
There's going to be a lot of hair. And it's, I guess I got to go stand over the sink near KMOX or something. I don't know.
No, you could just do it at home.
Just go do it in the newsroom.
Oh, you don't have to do it here. Okay. I thought you were saying that.
Can I speak more plainly? I don't think we need to watch you shave
your
beard.
I know, but I didn't know if you meant here studio or here work.
I mean, I don't want to watch you shave your beard at all.
I mean, it's,
I just want you to come in and look like a...
That, Casanova.
Well, yeah, that was always the dream, but...
I'm doing my best to make the views go up.
The Gap sweatshirt's a notch up.
Yeah, you know what? And what I could do is just wear a lot more low-cut stuff. And I haven't really crossed that bridge yet.
A lot more V-necks.
Yeah. I got too much integrity for that, I think. But I'll consider it.
I don't have the energy, so just keep going.
That's unfortunate because this is the very beginning of this segment.
It doesn't have to be. I can break whenever I want to.
I guess you can.
We skipped a break in the first hour. I'm just going to throw another one in here now.
Man, when Trump gets going, you're like, I don't know if this is going to be 5 minutes. Because sometimes
if
he walks up to
the press. All I need is another Trump press conference and I'm good until
he
gets here.
When he walks up to the press, if he's outdoors, that's when you don't know how long it's going to be. It could be 45 minutes or it could be 5 minutes.
When your beard starts coming back in, does it get itchy?
I don't know. It's been so long. Not long beard. I mean, it's been so long since I've cut it. I don't even remember.
Because Jared keeps his pretty close. He has facial hair, but I wouldn't. I mean, I guess technically he has a beard, but I wouldn't call it a beard. I don't want him to have a beard. But I feel like if he shaves it close for maybe an event or something like that, that when it comes back in, he's always messing with it and says it gets kind of itchy.
He probably just needs to do like a better skincare regimen.
I'll tell him you said so.
Yeah.
I'll say Ryan Wiggins is trying to give you some skincare pointers.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be like, not interested.
And look, I'll tell you, I used to use Dove, but then their ads. Ooh, I don't know.
What?
Dove.
What's wrong with their ads?
They're all about girls. And they're all about nakedness. And
it's
like
soap.
Body positivity. And I'm like, I don't want body positivity. I want body negativity. I want people to tell me that I do not look good in this way and this way, and I want to go fix it. I'm trying to give you tons of material to work with in this segment.
You are. I'm just listening. I can't get enough. Go on.
All right.
Maybe I'll just clear my throat and nose in this segment to fill the spaces.
How about those Grammys, huh?
No, stop.
Okay.
What do you want me to say to that?
I'm not really sure.
You just said that you hate Dove because it's for body positivity.
Mm, that's all their ads.
And they have naked people.
Mm-hmm.
And you want someone to tell you you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, Annie? And I'm supposed to say what in that moment?
You're supposed to point out the ways in which I could improve to bring up our online viewing.
It's not really where I'm putting my hopes and dreams.
No?
No.
Ethan?
We'll wait. He's sitting up there doing work for the rear end show, and he's probably just like perked up like a like a bird in a nest. TJ says, why not have Annie trim off Ryan's beard? Because I don't want to touch it.
Yeah,
that's why, TJ.
You don't really have to touch it, but you do have to get really close to it.
I don't want
to
do that. You don't want me to do that.
No, I don't.
I don't want to, like, what happens if I cut you? That's possible, and I don't want to do that.
I'm actually looking forward to cutting it a little bit because I've let it get really long. This is the longest I usually keep my beard at all. I don't let it get, you know, go down like a lot of guys do. This is it. This is the fullest I ever get a beard, right?
If you didn't cut it, would it get, like,
it probably would.
Santa Claus territory?
I don't know. Maybe just here. About the
is it possible when it grows back, Ryan, that it grows back differently?
It's possible that it grows back more gray.
Is that really possible?
It's also possible that it grows back, like right now it's kind of got that curly beard thing, and then it grows back completely straight, like ZZ Top, straight down. That's what I hope for.
You hope for that?
Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I'm just looking for some tush.
I'm just looking for some what?
Tush. That's why I didn't pronounce it perfectly.
That's good. So that I would ask you to clarify. You know how well versed I am at ZZ Top.
I tried to. A little side story for you here.
It was just the right appropriate amount of time.
I tried to do a high school like show. You know, they do those talent competitions and stuff in high school.
Yeah, they do those things.
A friend of mine and I decided we wanted to do...
you can't even say it?
A skit or a segment or something called Circle Mike.
What?
Good friend of mine. His name's Mike.
I wouldn't disclose that.
The sketch was called Circle Mike's Nipples. And of course, we had to present this to, like, the board before we do it. And so we're like, okay, look, we're going to do Circle Mike's Nipples. And they're like, that already sets off some red flags for us. I'm like, how dare you?
At Collins Hill High School? They were not just immediately on board?
They weren't, surprisingly. So they said, can you give us a little bit more background? Maybe it's just a goofy
name. What context, you know, is missing? That's the most descriptive.
And we said, well,
three words in the English language.
What's amazing, though, we had already done all that. We had everything ready for this, as if they were going to say yes.
Have everything ready.
Because there's a lot to it. We were going to come out to, I don't know if it was Tush or ZZ Top songs. It was LaGrange. That's it. So we were going to come out to that. And we were going to have, so here's what the deal. Mike was going to be sitting in the middle of the gymnasium with no shirt on. And we were gonna have almost all the lights
in
the gym off.
I keep hearing you say we were going to.
This is what was gonna happen. As if everybody, all the players were ready. The chessboard was
everybody
set.
But the supervisors.
Everybody but
at College
the yeah, the board. And so we had Mike was gonna sit in the middle of the gym with no shirt on. And we had two spotlight operators up in the rafters that were just going to be swirling the spotlights while LaGrange was playing. And he's just sitting there, right? There's nothing else happening. That's just that.
Is Mike in the listening audience?
Mike is my friend I visited in Japan. He's now a military
man. Does he listen to the podcast?
He had to leave
the country?
Yeah, we ruined his reputation. So he... He was just going to be sitting there. And the intro to LaGrange is not short. it takes a bit, right, yeah, to build. And we were going to be on microphones, me and one other guy going, "Who's ready?" And then the other was like, "Who's ready to circle Mike Morris's nipples?"
You said his last name?
Yeah, I did.
That's terrible.
Oops. And so then... We were going like this big production, like LaGrange is burn up, like it kicks in, right? And it goes, like we kind of walk out and then we just circle them and then we walk off and the spotlights go off and that's it. We just leave. That was the whole thing.
So you
thing.
Weren't actually, are you?
We walk out, we have Sharpies. We circle the nipples. We walk off. Mike walks off with us. The song shuts down. The spotlights go off. We just walk off.
Did you explain
That's
all
the
of
end.
That? Did you explain all of that to the adults in charge?
Yeah, and we were like, "You're gonna love this."
And how did any of them seem amused?
Oh yeah. They seemed amused.
No,
and it was a hard pass. So we didn't end up getting to do it, but man. You know, life is lived with regrets in the rear view. And I really wish we would have just said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to do this little skit to LaGrange," and then just done it. You know,
that's called asking for forgiveness rather than permission.
Exactly.
My husband was telling me a story yesterday, and I told him, I said, it would be... I would hope that the listeners would enjoy it, but I would completely enjoy it if we had our spouses come in and tell us stories of what they're... like most obnoxious kids do in class. I always think they're so funny. Like, the more obstinate they are to Jared, the more funny I think it is. Like, he'll come home and he'll be like, "Oh, it was a rough day." And then he tells me that this kid is like just defying every single ounce of order that exists. And I'm like, that's hilarious. Because I'm imagining like being in a staff meeting here and Carl Middleman's doing the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just think it's funny.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, honestly, when he's telling me the stories and I'm like tickled by it, he can see. I understand that my husband's responsibility as an educator is to establish order. But I'm like, that's not my job. That's funny to me.
So if Jared is on the board for the CHS...
If Jared comes home to me and says, "We're having a talent show, and we had a kid say, we want to do a skit called Circle Mike's Nipples," I'm laughing really hard. I am losing it. And he's going to be like, "Annie, it's inappropriate." I'm like, that's why it's funny. It's not like it actually happens. And if they were to ask for forgiveness instead of permission, I'd laugh too.
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody gets hurt, different story. If
right.
somebody's... being threatened, different story. But kids who are just like out there.
This was mega big.
In
man.
A totally different world and reality like yourself.
Yeah.
If it's not my problem, then it's funny.
Yeah. I was a bird. You got to let me fly. You know? That's what I was kind of pitching to them.
Isn't that kind of what you're doing here?
Yeah. This was my opportunity. And I think I've made the most of it.
Is this it?
This is it.
This is the peak, folks.
Yeah, I'm sorry
Circle
to say.
Circle Mike's nipples.
This was it.
We've made the summit. It's all downhill from here.
I can't believe I've never told that story before.
I don't think I've ever heard that. Sometimes you tell those stories, I remember the premise, but not the details. I don't think I've ever heard that story. Do you support Trump's tariffs? A natural segue into the next segment. Yes, no, or you don't understand it, but you trust Trump. And we're going to make a decision on what we're going to do with our haircutting experience on the break, and we'll be right back. You know that little Justin Timberlake, wicked, wicked, wicked.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be interesting as a trivia night round of 10 to pull out the little things that are in any individual performer's songs, because he does that stuff all the time. Eminem has his own thing. It wouldn't be as fair to do Jason Derulo's, because at the beginning of all his songs, he goes, Jason Derulo. It's like, oh, thanks for the heads up there.
That's the gimme.
Can you imagine if every time you did a live endorsement, you were like, Ryan Wiggins?
I kind of do. Like, hey, this is Ryan Wiggins.
In a live?
You need to introduce yourself more in your lives.
Yeah. I do not.
Yeah, that's 101.
Every time I get off the air from the segment, and I'm like, I am Annie Fry.
Yeah.
Hey! I'm not going to do that, but you should.
Annie Fry.
That's what you should do.
So what we've decided to do is the haircut is taking place Friday. We did not commit to doing it on the air, but you guys keep saying we should do it on the air. So we're going to do it on air. But in an effort, as you can tell here, we're only committed to making great radio. Especially this hour.
Uh-huh.
We're going to cut the hair. It will be at the break from 12:55 that goes into 1:05. We got Fox News and stuff in there. It gives us a little bit longer of a break from segment to segment. It's actually 12:56:50, so it's almost 57. We'll take a break there like we normally would on the air. And on the YouTube channel, you can come watch the hair cutting. We might even turn on one of the microphones in the studio for that. And we'll cut the hair live. So hopefully he can get it done. I don't want you to rush through that process.
I'll probably not use scissors.
No.
I'll stand over here
it's
and
it's been
throw
predetermined
razors at it.
As part of the contractual agreement between the two of us that I will provide the that's perfect. I will provide the cutting device.
Do you know what it's going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to go buy a new pair of shears.
Oh, okay. I was hoping, like, shears, okay, but maybe old ones.
Nope. Mm-mm. Rusty.
Yeah.
Rusty.
And you're going to come shaven that day.
I think so.
So, to be clear, I said mustache could stay. Not the beard, no goatee.
Yeah.
Your mustache can go from your jaw across your upper lip to your other jaw. That's all you get.
And a thin line connecting it to my sideburns.
No.
And the line can squiggle.
And the what?
And the line can squiggle, too.
The line.
So from my bottom of my mustache, squiggle, squiggle, squiggle like you're in Candyland, and then boop, right
the
there.
The what squiggle?
There's just a thin line.
No, what did
line.
You call it? The line.
The line.
Can.
Yes.
So I thought you said the Lion King squiggle.
No.
And I'm like, what?
The line what? Can, not the lime and the coconut.
Go for it.
Okay. And just on one side. The
you
other
need
side
a little
clean.
Rafiki on this side.
Yeah.
And a little Pumbaa over there, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to come in Friday with something for people to see.
Yep.
Are you going to let your kids help?
I'm serious when I say that my 7-year-old, my 10-year-olds are like, don't do it. Come on, Dad. You're going to look so bad.
Oh,
But my 7-year-old, he's actually visibly mad at me.
You're going to look different to him.
Yeah.
Have your kids ever seen you without facial hair?
I don't think they have.
Can you, this is sound terrible, but can you film that, their reaction to that?
Why? So if they're absolutely devastated, we can share it?
Yes.
Well, not if they tell me it looks terrible. I mean, that would be fun.
No, those videos, have you seen those videos?
Yeah.
I've never seen it with
like little babies.
With little kids or with
devastating.
That age. That would be pretty funny. Yeah, they don't recognize their dad. Now, obviously, they're still going to know it's you.
Ryan, hopefully. As a mother, I'm not in favor of exploiting your children's sorrow. Just yours.
How about if they cry, I'll share it.
Oh.
And if it's boring,
I actually almost want to retract your part of this if it makes your kids sad.
It does make them sad.
Shut up.
Very, very
but
sad.
What if they like it?
You know what else they hate is when I don't get presents every day.
It's nice to watch him make up stuff on the spot.
Do you think that they're going
to
hate
manipulate
Annie?
This situation.
You could also, speaking of manipulating, you could also say, you know, this is because of Annie Fry. It's not my
choice.
Oh,
I'm sure that's happening at the dinner table every night.
They said, is this because of Lutheran education? I said, absolutely not.
It's a public school system,
this is,
kids.
Yeah, this is because of Annie.
This is because of the corruption within our school districts.
And they're like, is Annie your boss? And I'm like, no, you get that out of your mouth.
I'm not your boss.
That's why
I obviously
told them.
Have no power over you.
Right. I told them. And they said, oh, okay, so it's Brad. And I'm like, yeah.
That's between you two. Hey, it's coming up.
What? How many years?
Oh, you know what? It actually is my anniversary here today.
What? Oh, your work anniversary?
Yeah, how long have I been here?
16 years?
Yeah, I think so.
But you're one of the longest people who's been here.
There's only one person who's been at 97 one longer than I have, and she's in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And Julia, and she's the best. I have outlasted everybody else, which is bittersweet. I will say that for sure. But Brian's anniversary is coming up.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Cruci time.
Mm-hmm.
In May.
How many years will that be?
That's May? That's not close.
It's close enough for the next 4 minutes.
We're 3/4 of the way to the next anniversary.
Oh, yeah. That's right around the corner.
I mean, like, 3-4 months it's away. It's customary to get somebody an anniversary gift, right?
Yes.
Ryan just calculated. He's like, I don't want to get him anything, but yes. I could get something.
So I'll get you this. I think this is the paper anniversary. I'll get you paper. And
how long have you guys been working together? 21?
Yeah.
September 21?
Yeah, 21 years. Well, I mean.
What kind of work?
I don't know about that. Tell me more about that. Here.
September of 21 is when. I've been working with Brad for the exact same amount of time as you have.
That's true.
So we could kind of celebrate a full anniversary.
How long has this been going on?
Me and you?
Yeah.
When you say it like that, I started with you in September, at the very, very end of September 2019.
So were you on, when did you start at the station?
2018.
You started at what month?
October. So
October
almost a year later.
So October of 2018, you got hired, October of 2018, you got hired on and you were doing some imaging stuff?
No, I was just doing part-time. I was just doing kind of like a
Ethan?
Producer stuff. But
look,
fill in stuff.
What you could turn into.
Mm-hmm.
This is your future.
See this?
He just left. He just walked out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
What is see this? What is the hand flourish down the side of your body?
I was showing him my shirt, Gap shirt.
Only two words come to mind. Buttless chaps.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the
That
podcast.
Is what I'm wearing today.
So you, and then you worked with the Dave Glover Show? You were the were you,
for 5.5 months or something like that.
Were you the executive producer?
Good run.
I was kind of the replacement for Mark Close in a way,
but
I was
not
the producer.
In,
yeah,
not in position in
right.
person.
Yes,
but yeah. You were the producer.
Yeah, I was terrible. I was really bad at it.
Why?
There, I specifically remember a moment because I could not focus on doing buttons and participate
hard
in the conversation at all. And Brad is
it's like the job.
Brad deals with this every single day. I cannot do it. And so I would be doing something. And then I'd kind of tune back into whatever was happening in the room.
And you'd miss
and
something?
I'd chime in. And they'd go, what the heck are you talking about? There was a conversation they were having once about the Titanic.
Oh, no.
And at the end of it, I chimed in. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even sure why they couldn't get Leo on that door. And they stopped in their tracks, and I'm like, what the heck did I just say? I mean, it was like the room screeched to a halt. And they go, have you not been listening to anything we've been saying for
You're
the last
like,
5 minutes?
I have an answer for that.
And the answer was, no, I have not.
So that, we were just pushing buttons.
That was the subject of the conversation that they had just had. Could they fit another person on the door? They did it for 5 minutes. And then I come back, and I go, I think you could have fit somebody else in that door. Controversial opinion, but that's just mine.
You go back and visit with them every once in a while, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they laud you as a great thinker now from the midday show on 97.1?
Oh, yeah, they always
say. Are you
say,
the guy who talks about Leo being on the door?
No. Now they're like, oh, yeah, we really learn a lot from listening to you. I really got you with that one, didn't I?
Yeah, they were probably going pee today during the Circle Mike's nipples conversation. And they're like, oh, we really, that was a close call there.
For context, there's speakers in the bathroom
that's
that
like,
rotate all the stations
yeah,
here.
That's
yeah,
like a,
people in the bathroom. That's
the Lou
what we're
Brock trade of radio in St. Louis right there.
What did they get?
For you, you're the Cardinals, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. YouTube live chat poll.
Is it that time?
We need to talk about what our votes are on it. Yeah, so set us up for it here.
313 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks, do you support Trump's tariffs?
I absolutely do support them, although in the past, I would have been...
I love that you're just giving a well-thought-out answer to this question right now. Go on!
Yeah, I mean, I just talked it up, right?
I mean, just do your thing.
People are like, oh, gosh, he's so smart. I would have been a libertarian on this issue in the past and said free trade is the way to go. However, the problem is, not everybody plays by the same rules of free trade. There are nations of the world who have borderline slave labor and actual slave labor, and you can't... They undercut everything. Everybody.
Yeah.
So you can't participate with that in a good faith in a free market. So you have to do stuff like this.
Brad, what do you think?
I'm with Ryan on this. I think the free market is great, but it only works when everybody's participating in the free market for the same reasons and with the same good faith. And that's not the case right now. I also support the tariffs as a method of negotiation, using it to get what you are trying to get. I don't think Trump's demands of Canada are all that unreasonable. I think they should just go along with it.
I said this to Kaylee McEnany, who was on with us at 12:25. You can check the Annie Fry Show podcast for that if you missed it. But I really wonder if the tariff issue is going to be the border issue of the first campaign, where everybody was like, that's the worst, most heinous, stupid idea ever. And then right before the 2024 election, Kamala Harris was like, build the wall. So I don't know. We'll see how it unfolds here. Ethan, your thoughts and the results?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to call yourself the leader of the free world, I think that you have the right to use that power in a way that shows that. So that's my thoughts. The results, 79% say yes, 9% say no, and 12% say they don't necessarily understand Trump's tariffs, but they do trust him.
I think that 12% might be the most honest 12% who voted in that poll. You know? Mark Reardon Show, coming up next, 97.1 FM.